Well, hi there, Mick.
Hey. Todd, it's just you and I, but I couldn't get in for a while, so I'm not sure what's going on without.
Yeah, I tried to get in and it said there's another meeting in progress or something like that. Okay. Is this your meeting or who sets this meeting up?
I don't set it up. Tracy sets it up.
Okay. I didn't realize you
So,
started without us
I mean, it's,
being there.
yeah, I would say it's quote my meeting and only in the sense that I'm the lucky victim that gets to run it.
Lucky you.
Were you in on the TSC call yesterday?
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
That discussion about, elected leaders and I appreciate the complexities of it, definitely. And it was an appropriate discussion. The flip side of that is that I'm thinking only us crazies are the ones who would even volunteer for that position, let alone have to worry about elections for it.
Well, I wonder. What I wonder is if some people are concerned that the chair of a working group, whatever, might the railroad things. That's all I can figure out. Otherwise, it's like it's the working groups, committees, stuff like that that I've been. I don't see any of that. So, right, it just seems like a thankless job.
Yeah, it's the irony of the discussion was not lost on me. How's that? All right. Greg, I see you there. Are you
Hello.
actually going to join us this morning, Greg? This is outstanding.
Yeah, I'm here. Well, I'm here.
Does this mean we're going to be able to get some of your cycles to actually help us write this thing in a, a human readable form?
That's my specialty. I love working with you guys. Before we start, is it okay if I ask a question about the architecture one? I hate to mix up the streams, but
That's fine, but most of us are not here yet, so could be.
no, it's a procedural thing. I thought that after our last call, we had that there was going to be sort of like a last call for comments, and I did not see that on Rocket Chat or chat, as I've been instructed to call it. And I was wondering if that had gone out in any other medium, and if not, I can shoot an email to Rom unless he's planning on joining, or if you think he might join, and then I can just ask.
Ram usually joins us for this one, but again, given our kind of complexities of getting started, we'll see
Okay.
who shows up for it.
All right. But you're not aware of that having gone out, I take it.
I'm correct. I'm not aware of anything else having gone out beyond. I watch the same channels you do. How's that?
All right. Cool. I wanted to be sure I didn't miss it before I, sent it out.
Hart, were you able to get connected?
Yeah, I'm in. Can
Okay.
you hear me?
Yep.
No.
Awesome. Oh,
Oh, we hear you. We're just ignoring you. Oh, wait. Okay, just a couple of things. One reminder, the antitrust policies for all Hyperledger and Linux Foundation conversations do not share, do not expose, do not misuse. The time that we spend here for inappropriate competitive, anti-competitive practices there. And yes, I'm just about to start going through the 2 days worth of yearly classes that Intel requires me to do for all of those lovely teachers. They're actually okay. So honestly, the first time you take them, they're pretty good. But by the time you've been in for 20 years and you're taking the exact same class 20 years in a row, it gets a little, repetitive.
Just give them a
So,
test, right?
yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at on it. Okay, second thing is just a reminder that what we've been doing is working on actually writing stuff. And so we have a pretty interesting draft of the usage that we're using based on some of the work, thanks to Todd and Vipin, who's not able to join us this morning. And we're going through right now the process of starting to construct the ideal model for it. And just kind of going back, I think one of the things we were sort of stuck with on last time, we made some progress on kind of capturing notions of identity and correlation, identity correlation. And that's more or less where we ended up last time. So has everybody had a chance to kind of review where we stand on the paper and the ideal model pieces of it?
I have not. I was out of town for the last couple of weeks.
Okay. So I was, then my suggestion is we just take about 3 minutes and do a quick browse through the end of the ideal system implementation section, and then get going from there. And I think I'll go back and where I think we should continue the discussion is just on the correlation issues and requirements for that. So just the summary is we have a basic model of a central system. There are essentially rounds of broadcasts in order to avoid some level of correlation. The broadcast messages coming out of the trusted third party are interpretable by some subset of the recipients of the message. Others are unable to decipher it. So we're able to have messages that break some of the correlation for identities and participants. What else? Where else are we at, Hart? What am I missing?
Well, we've basically kind of gone over the model, and we're at the point where we have to kind of decide what or which ideal models we want to use. So if I recall 2 weeks ago, we kind of got stuck because we didn't have any of the people that were super familiar with the application, and we couldn't really agree on an ideal model, basically, which is a totally reasonable thing. So we were kind of at the stage where we needed to pick some ideal models to work with and then analyze.
Okay. So how do we make progress on this? What's your recommendation for the next step? Do we just need to clean up what we already have there and take a stand on what we want?
I mean, I would say we pick some kind of, we think about what security guarantees we want for the application, right? Maybe we can even pick a couple of different sets of guarantees, right? And then we come up with an ideal model that suits those guarantees, right? And then we can point to blockchain techniques that would give us something that is indistinguishable from this ideal model.
Okay. So the model that you'd been kind of working towards and proposing was, and if I recall the sort of conversation we were having, was a ledger, essentially a representation of a ledger. And there was some discussion from Vipin about whether that was appropriate given things like Corda and its peer-wise communication.
So we had a...
I'm trying to swap back in based on the notes we have in here, and I know we went off on identities and correlation of identities for a while.
So traditionally people assume that communication is publicly known, but if you want to assume you have private channels, then you can essentially do, you can recreate this model between all parties that you're having communication with. So instead of having a trusted authority that manages, instead of having one trusted authority, you can have a trusted authority that manages kind of every KY's communication. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. And again, in sort of looking back at the notes, I know that this came out of the issue that while the trusted third party could broadcast out, the response from the individual bidders, for example, could be correlated to the request coming for a bid.
Right. So if you see the problem is, right, and if you think about how this would work in blockchain, you can see this is immediately, this is a very valid attack on the blockchain system too.
Right.
Is that if I send the trusted third party or respectively, you know, this will be post on the blockchain, some kind of request and I'm a supplier, you know, even if it's encrypted, you know, people can probably guess what it is, right? Or guess things about it. And then if you, you know, see suppliers post back, you know, in some relative time period, then you can assume they're responding, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this obviously leaks some information, whether it's fatal or what is another matter, but it's certainly an issue. And kind of more importantly, you know, in a lot of these blockchain analyses, people just kind of throw this under the rug and just won't analyze it. They'll just say everything's encrypted, we're fine. But here we can model this, right? Because you're seeing this in the ideal model, right?
Right.
So yeah, that's the issue with that.
Do you have the doc up? Are you able to see what I'm writing?
I have the paper doc up. Are you writing in the notes?
No, I'm in the paper doc, right at the end of the model section.
Okay, yeah, I see you.
Under the header April 6th, at least for the moment.
I mean, the CORDA model, though, everything has to be reconciled on the main blockchain at some point, right? Or put on a hash?
There is a there is certainly a central notary.
I mean, so yeah. And I guess, are they assuming a private communication pattern with the notary?
I believe so. Todd, do you know anything more about this?
I don't. I can imagine some stuff based upon the use cases we've encountered. You know, this is the same problem Tor is trying to solve, right? Or trying to solve.
I mean, it's a little different.
I mean, they add extra traffic in, they do other stuff, whatever, to try to prevent correlation. I think that is a big issue. I think knowing, communicating, especially in something like the supply chain, something like that, is a leak of a lot of information.
Todd, you're breaking up. Sorry.
Computer audio.
I caught some of that, but not all of it.
Let me switch back to regular. I'll be right back.
Yeah, the problem is with all of these just adding noise things is, fundamentally, they make it harder to perform these attacks, but they don't stop them. And if you want to provably stop this, you have to do like, you know, you've pointed this out, kind of an always broadcast thing, right?
Right.
You know, if you just have a protocol where everyone kind of broadcasts in turn, then you can totally hide this. If you have a blockchain system, like, I don't know, maybe you have a supply chain or something where you don't need to have super fast transactions, you know, you can have, you can make this work in some cases.
So the problem with the trusted, the pairwise trusted authority, it doesn't, it still doesn't get you around the,
I mean, it doesn't,
You lose discoverability, right?
Yes. So the question is, if you have that, then how do you move back to the main blockchain, right? And you can argue that this is kind of like a channels model, right? Where you know, if there's some kind of dispute or something, the parties have the functionality to dump the channel, or in our ideal model, kind of dump the status of the trusted third party to the, you know, main trusted third party or whatever.
Right.
So you can kind of bake that in there, but you are correct that that the discoverability is not there.
Okay, so this sort of goes back to, and Ben, did I see you join?
Yes, I did join.
Okay, so the notary service and Corda channels have the ordering service still becomes sort of the point of central correlation for some of these things. Ben, when you looked at and were designing Fabric's channels, what was did you have something in mind for your ideal communication model on that?
Give me some more background. What is that?
Okay, this is where I get to see if I actually have learned anything from Hart. the concept of the ideal model is to describe it in a rationally computable system. Could we define a trusted third party that would give us the behavior, the ideal behavior that we would like to see from our system? And so for our sort of view of a ledger, we're postulating a trusted third party to which we can send messages and that broadcast messages back out, and that trusted third party manages our data perfectly, right? That's our oracle approach. And it has some nice, I mean, we've been in, as part of our discussions on this, it's, you know, there's obviously some nice properties. There's some things we can do that hide the information in there. But we're kind of stuck on how to avoid correlation between messages, right? So while the ledger can broadcast something out that's encrypted in a way so that only the targeted parties can decrypt it, which preserves the privacy of the outgoing information, it's still possible to potentially correlate a request coming in or two requests coming in. So the supplier makes a request for bids and a factor responds to that. The correlation, the fact that those two parties responded to one another near in time means that they're probably related to one another. So there's information exposed that way. And so Corda has gone off on these sort of private pairwise communication things, but the notary service is still required to validate some notion of what the message is, right? Or at least the existence of some communication. Channels in some sense give us a constrained multicast group over which we can define things. So in a sense, it's like a collection of these trusted third parties. It's not pairwise, but it's a smaller thing. But any communication between those groups is still potentially correlated through the ordering service, through updates on the ordering service. So there's still this sort of less functional central model. And so my question was really, you know, did you, when you were designing the channels for Fabric, Did you have some ideal model in mind that you were trying to achieve? What was your objective for privacy preservation in that case?
Well, the first thing that we set out to do was to achieve some kind of data isolation from the messaging point of view between the peers. One model, because in the permission blockchain network, we have to make some kind of assumption of what would the operating model look like. So there are two models that we came up with. One is what we call private network, which is a network that controlled by someone. Participants in this network are members of that network in such a way that is part of that controller. So for example, a network, a Visa network, for example, is that type of network. That Visa created this network, that Visa controls this network, that anyone who wants to participate on their network must be authorized by Visa. Right? So Visa is the owner of the network. And because of that, in this use case, then Visa would be the ordering network. And so Visa would be a trusted party to provide the ordering for the participants in the network. So that's one model. The second model is a trusted consortium of partners that would host the ordering service. So these including partners like regulators, like entities that are part of the network, but they are playing the role of there to monitor, there to provide a service to the network, but not really a participant members of the network. For example, post-trade processing, right? Like DTC, for example, the Fed, all these organizations or agencies involving in the post-trade clearing and settlement, they are not part of the trades, but they are there to provide the service to clear and settle the trades. So is it? So those are the two primary, I can call it canonical use cases that we're trying to design the channel for.
So would it be reasonable for me, again, trying to go back to sort of comparing what you're saying against where we started the discussion 4 weeks ago was with sort of a centralized ledger approach. Would it be, and sort of contrasting that at the other end with something that's purely pairwise. It feels like what you're trying to do with Corda is make it possible to generate trusted third parties that subset participants.
Right.
So, and is there an expectation that those subsets communicate with one another? I mean, is this, if they're just smaller subsets, well, then each one of these is just, you know, fits into the ledger model that we've been talking about for the last several weeks. But if there's communication between them, then it's something we need to think more about.
From Fabric, both of them, from Fabric, there's a communication between them, and that communication could be private, could be point to point to the gossip layer. And that happens in certain condition. For example, such as, you know, trying to catch up, you know, say for some reason, your node crashed and you have to bring it back up and now you're behind, you have to catch up. So you do a backdoor communication with the other parties on the channel to catch up with them. The other kind of communication is through channel-wise communication through transactions. So that's the typical communication by sending messages through the transaction.
Uh-huh.
The potential that you're talking about, the potential for that some malicious actor could make some kind of correlation of these messages, especially the second type of messages where the transaction is flow on a channel, are very much the nodes that play the role of ordering service. Today, that node does not look into the meshes, but certainly if it's malicious node, it can certainly do that, right? But our code does not look into the meshes. The only thing that it does is order the meshes in the block and then disseminate the block out to the channel.
Right, but with and the reason I'm, a malicious third party could observe the a malicious participant in the ordering service could at least
right
different channels. Is that right?
Yes, it could correlate things between channels if it has enough intelligence between the channels.
Okay, so we still have something that can look into the communication. So Hart, are we making, is this discussion helping us clarify anything? I feel like what we've got right now is there's a ledger and we've got a good model for a ledger, but that ledger is really not reflective of the architectures that are emerging, which have a ledger between some subset of participants and then a pairwise function that coordinates communication between those ledgers. This feels like it's making it excessively complex, but it also feels realistic.
Well, if the realism is complicated, then we have to reflect that in the modeling, right? There's kind of no way around that. This whole problem usually comes, the challenge is usually picking the right model. And that's kind of where we're stuck, and that's okay, right? Because that's usually the difficult part, is defining the model. So I don't think thinking about this is necessarily a bad thing. It's kind of what it is, I guess.
Yeah, Mick, you said something, if you maybe clarify that, you said something about communication between ledgers or something like that. What was the last part of what you said?
Yeah, I'm trying to generalize so that we, one thing is that we just pick the ledger model and the ideal model for the ledger that we worked out, which seems like a really good starting point. It's simple. It doesn't seem to be reflective, however, of the attempts to do pairwise communication and off-chain communication, which limit the ability for others to see and do correlation. So, that's where I'm trying to go to. So what I hear Ben saying is channels, in a sense, represent a broadcast community. That it's a smaller community than the full group that's going to use a ledger. So we may have a ledger sort of ideal model for that community, right? So a single channel looks a lot like what we've been doing for our ideal model for a ledger.
Right.
In addition to that, there is some way of doing communication between two channels or between two of these sort of ideal models.
Within Fabric, that's limited.
I understand. What I'm trying to do is come up with the ideal model, right? So in the implementation, the current implementation of it may be limited, but if we speculate as a means of coming up with a general description of how our ideal system would work, and we can go back and then talk about how to do the actual implementation of the ideal system, how current approaches more or less match the ideal system, right?
Okay.
But if I were to try to describe something that reflects the architectures that I see, I would say that there are two pieces of this. One piece is something that has the characteristics of our ideal model that we worked on that looks like a ledger, right? Participants in that community send a message to this, you know, ideal trusted third party. The ideal trusted third party broadcasts some set of messages, broadcasts a message out, which some can read and some can't read, to the participants that are in that. There's another, so there's another channel, ledger, pairwise communication that also has that same characteristic, but the participants are not necessarily, but the participants are not overlapping. And then there is somehow or another this sort of trusted third party in the middle that manages the communication between them.
Okay.
So it's not all the way to the CORDA model where every pair has to manage this. Right. So in the CORDA model, each pair of participants has a ledger. And so they spend a lot more time with the sort of coordinating between each of these things, right? So you and I may, Intel and Oracle may exchange transactions, but you can then turn around and take the assets that I give you and you can hand them off to Fujitsu and Hart. But in CORDA, each one of those sets of interactions is complete and distinct from the others. And if I sound like I'm not understanding what I'm talking about, you know, there's a distinct possibility of that. So fix it.
No, that makes sense. But again, even between you and I, and then I and Hart, there's a potential for linkability due to timing, right?
Right.
Correct. But what would the visibility be for that linkability? If it's to a ledger, right? If we go through a common, like, if the three of us participate and we use Bitcoin to do it, then the visibility of those messages is very broad. If I send you, if my ledger server sends to your ledger server a direct message and your ledger server sends to Hart's ledger server a direct message, the visibility for those is distinctly different.
Agreed.
So it feels like there's a, you know, some qualitative difference between the two that we should capture. So with channels, anyone who's participating in the channel can, to a certain degree, see everything, at least as far as the message existence, can see everything that's going on in the channel. But they can't see into somebody else's channel without going through the ordering service.
Right, the ordering service is a common here, but it really depending on the participant on the different channel, because from the complexity point of view, they could decide to stand up their own ordering service. And if
right,
so,
right. Agreed.
You know,
and then it becomes a completely isolated
right
system.
Well, then the issue becomes, how do you move things essentially between chains or between ordering services, right?
Right.
That's the same problem whether it's ordering services or channels. Issue is around transactionality, basically, right? It's not a communications issue. It's a question of integrity, you know, consistency.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it is kind of, it is somewhat of a communication issue, right? Because kind of when you dump from like a side channel to a main channel, right, that might reveal information. Certainly if you dump after kind of every transaction, that reveals something, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
Obviously you might dump less, but it's still, you know, unless you kind of dump a regular size at a regular interval, then something's revealed.
Right. Right. From the linkability perspective, you could if you can spot or see the communication, whether you can interpret or not is irrelevant. But then, yeah, you could potentially do some linkability there without, as you described.
Yeah, and the issue is that kind of everyone, I'm assuming there's kind of one main blockchain or main ordering service or whatever. And if you can see that, then, you know, at some point things have to come back to that. So
actually in Fabric, there isn't. The ordering service is just an agreement between the peers as to, and which channel uses which ordering service.
Right. But there's still kind of there's like a main blockchain in Fabric, right? And things generally have to come back down to that.
No.
Well, main scoped by the ordering service.
Okay.
Each ordering service defines a scope over which all of the transactions at some level can be correlated.
Correct. No. For a given ordering service.
Yeah, but, exactly. I'm just saying that.
Right, yeah. And channels bound to that ordering service, and peers can participate in multiple channels and multiple ordering services.
Correct. So you end, oh crap, so you end up with back channels as well. All right, Hart, help us out of this one.
Well, I mean, this is just, I mean, I like to think, I mean, the channels don't have this full functionality yet, but I kind of like to think of them as like Lightning Network style things, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a sub blockchain, right?
Yep.
So you can do things on these sub blockchains, right? But if you want to like move assets or things, you know, kind of at some point you might want to move things back to the main blockchain, right? And that's when kind of you get these like correlation issues or other things, right? So basically, you know, if you and I and Ben have a channel, right? And we're doing some trading, and then all of a sudden we want to trade something that we're trading to Todd, right? How do we do that, right? Well, we could add him to our channel, right? But this isn't a really scalable solution because, you know, at some point we'll have added everyone to our channel and, well, that's not good. So how do we trade assets between channels is the interesting question, right? And presumably we have to have some kind of, you know, reconciliation going back to the main blockchain or ordering service to do that, right? Because that's kind of what put the asset there in the first place, is we moved it from a main blockchain to a channel. So it's these kind of, I mean, if there's another way to do this, Ben, let me know. But my thoughts were that these kind of moves between channels are where you'll get these privacy attacks.
Oops. Well, why not even within a channel? I think you'll get them in both cases.
Well, within a channel, I mean, you're assuming that that people can know, right? Like if you're in a channel, yes, then everyone on the channel can see the transaction pattern.
I don't think that's a scalable model either, though. I mean, this has been this, one of the discussions around channels is that they're not a good replacement for the Corda model, right? For pairwise communication.
But I don't necessarily agree with that, right? Because the Corda model has the notary service, which is a huge single point of failure. Which is a huge point of centralization, right? If I want to attack the system, I'm just sitting right outside the, you know, I'm just plopping down my malware right near where the ordering service is, like whatever its like gateway is to the main internet. I'm just sitting there and, you know, I'm happy. I mean, how many, yeah, you know, I mean, and the notary service is kind of acting as this like mythical trusted third party we're talking about, right?
Right. Yes.
And they're even assuming that this notary service, that like we have private channels of communication with this notary service, right? That people can't do traffic analysis around the notary service, right?
They assume that? Or we're assuming that?
I mean, that's the core assumption, right? Is that you can't see if I talk to the notary service, right? I have a private channel with the notary service. That's correct, right?
There's for the purposes of linkability, I believe that is the case.
Yeah.
And again, I will say I believe.
I mean, I haven't read
through the court. Based on my understanding, but that's not necessarily right. So
I haven't read through the court of spec in a little while. So, I mean,
Me too. So I'm trying to recall 9 months old.
But if you do assume that there is some entity that everyone, some trusted entity even, that everyone has a private communication channel with, the problem of blockchain becomes much, much easier, right?
Right.
So it's a little different model. And I mean, I guess, you know, they have to do that because they want these really high performance guarantees. And you know, that's one decision you can make. But personally, I think that I'd probably prefer a stronger security model where, you know, I don't want to have to assume this trusted third part, this
mythical.
I mean, it's a little strong. So,
yeah. So in your example, the concern about privacy is that, say, if I were to trade something that in our channel to Todd, you know, say in our channel we were trading cookies, and I decided to pick up a cookie and trade with Todd between me and Todd on a candy. So I turn around, I trade cookies for candies. Are we concerned about the privacy that in this case then you and Mick would know that I'm trading cookie with Todd or with someone in this case, because I would have to send a transaction on our three channels on our channel to say that to destroy this cookie because I'm using this cookie over to the other channel to trade with Todd.
Right. So you have to
that's part of it.
Yeah. You have to destroy the cookie on the channel, but you have to have some message that takes it to like another channel, right? Or
right.
But probably, I mean, this would be a nice functionality, but probably you might not even be able to take it directly to another channel. You might have to take it to the main blockchain first, right? At the very minimum, you're going to kind of have some proof of like the asset anchoring, right?
Yeah, when I was at IBM, we did implement a POC for a customer doing just that, doing the two chain codes, you know, one on this channel and one on the other channel, and they built a commitment between them, and they will exchange assets and destroy assets. But both channels would be aware of the activities.
That's exactly right. It's the correlation or the linking between activities on one channel and activities on the other channel. And let me just sort of go back to where this started, which was Vipin expressed this as a requirement based on the usage that we avoid linkability. That is, that knowledge of who's bidding on a particular supplier's request should not be available. And so I want to make sure we're grounded in that we're staying grounded in our particular usage in this case that way. So the linkability requirement is coming from the usage requirement. So I'm going to step back here for a second. Thomas, Clive, you guys have been quiet the whole time. Did you have anything you want to contribute? Thoughts?
Not right now. I'm in learning mode, listening to this fantastic thing about confidential and channels. So, and I need to catch up on the architecture document.
Yeah, Clive here. So, very interesting conversation. Yeah, same thing. I would just interject that I've been closely following Mark Miller's work, in particularly with object capabilities and frozen realms, and also trying to link that to smart contracts and privacy. So today's conversation inspires me to drop in a video update that he gave recently at UCL in London that just talked about the whole range of computer languages that he's got his eyes currently on, and some new evolving languages. And because they span a lot of the topics that were spoken about this morning, such as the channels with Rolang, I think I'm just putting that out there that I think there's something that Mr. Miller has cottoned onto that lends itself to this privacy solution, and I can't quite join the dots up, but listening to the conversation this morning and the iteration towards that, I think that if perhaps the folks here were to review the video I'm going to post, it might help it just pop up a solution in somebody's mind.
Yeah, thanks.
Sorry, Greg, I'm going to pick on you next. Any thoughts?
And you don't get to
claim the ignorance thing, because you participated in enough of these things. You have some great insights. I've heard you go, I don't understand this, I just write it. It's like, baloney. Your questions are dead on every time you ask them.
I will share the thoughts that have been going on in my head as I've been listening. So I have been trying to get more knowledgeable about the whole identity aspect of blockchain and Hyperledger. So reading up on Hyperledger Indy, reading up on the concept of DIDs, reading up on zero knowledge proof, and it feels to me like there's an awful lot of overlap between this conversation and the things that that part of the community is working with. And I guess I haven't brought it up because I wanted to be respectful of the boundaries of scope that might exist between the identity working group and this working group. but I guess I'm just wondering if there's any approaches that are native to the whole identity conversation that might be relevant.
The one thing I will say is that Nathan and Vipin are normally in this meeting. And in fact, a lot of the linkability discussion we had 2 weeks ago was around exactly how it correlates to identity. That is, playing on your comment about there's a really close relationship between privacy, confidentiality, and linkability to identities that has to be brought out no matter what we do in this. And so I deeply appreciate the insight on the link.
Folks, I just posted it just in case you like controversy and you like, and so on. We had an article in the Wall Street Journal this week, Tuesday, I think it came out. And yes, please follow that link. And if you want a PDF, I can also send a PDF, because I think for some people, the WSJ front page might be locked out.
Do you want to just add the link into the meeting notes? Did you?
I just posted it in the chat.
Oh, it's in the, I see where it is. I'll copy it into the permanent meeting notes if that's okay with you.
Yeah, and advance apologies if it offends anybody here. It has almost nothing to do with Hyperledger, but just in case you guys have opinions about what self-sovereign means, advance apologies.
Okay. All right, so we've got about 5 minutes left. What do we need to close on today? And maybe my question should, sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, just one quick thing. I missed a little bit here trying to switch over to a landline, and about what Hart was saying about sort of obfuscating stuff around, you know, message communication and stuff like that. Do we want to include that kind of information?
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of we have to. I think one of the things that the blockchain community is kind of hasn't been really aware of is that if we want strong privacy in a practical way, you know, we're going to have to basically relearn all the lessons that Tor learned over the past like 20 years.
Yep.
Because there are some really, really hard problems, and there's been a ton of both academic and practical research on kind of how to deal with, you know, these like traffic analysis problems or all of these essentially anonymity problems. So, I mean, I think these are absolutely essential to think about. And if we want to not have linkability and things like that, we're going to have to think about these problems.
I agree 100%.
So yeah, I mean, this is something that, you know, it's been kind of concerning to me that no one has really gotten on board with these problems. People say they don't want linkability.
I had a paper with Ned Smith at Intel on, you know, how to use a blockchain for, in his context, onboarding, you know, devices, right? But it's essentially providing, you know, unlinkability, untraceability, et cetera, using, in fact, the, you know, based on the Intel DPID system for a blockchain. And I got like, like no interest, and I got beat up here at MIT, you know, from people who misunderstood that paper, right? But there is interest. I mean, I'm interested.
Can you link that paper in the Rocket Chat? Do you have it posted on your printer?
I think I might have a copy of it as well.
Okay, yeah, put a link in the notes.
Yeah.
Put a link in the meeting notes. That'd be nice.
I'd love to see it if you don't mind.
Yeah, same here.
I was literally lynched here on campus, right? And you know, people accused me of being a communist. Like, what? Like, anyway, I will send it.
Careful. Just a reminder, it's being recorded.
Okay.
They need to really stop with those 70s fads.
Well, as long as you know, accuse you of being a communist, not that there's anything wrong with that. Right.
I mean, I know MIT still teaches intro chem, makes everybody take chemistry and everything like that, you know, and they just have to get out in the '70s.
Yeah. I just posted the link on the chat room.
I got it in the notes, Thomas. Thanks.
I don't see it. Where is it?
It's both in the Zoom meeting chat and in the notes for the overall.
Okay. Oh, this is gotcha. Okay, sorry.
Sorry, I didn't put it in the doc. I we've been rambling enough on stuff that I just moved back over to the notes section.
Okay, thanks. No, I got it.
No, we have a longer paper that is, you know, specifically delving into, you know, unlinkability and, you know, and so on, and how to revoke it and so on. But that's kind of still draft. So, gotcha. You know, whenever we have time to finish it, we'll share it with you guys.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, this was from, this paper was like from 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I work with Ned frequently on a number of things. So.
Cool, very cool.
Okay, so we are more or less at time for today. I would ask you to go through, take a look and review the notes that I captured in the meeting notes. Feel free to start editing. At some point, we got to bring our rambling back down into a proposal for that ideal model that we put in the document. So feel free to take some ownership and put together a proposal for what that should be if you're motivated to do so.
Well, remember, we don't have to have just one ideal model, right?
Yes.
We can pick a couple. So, I mean, I would say that the people that are most familiar with the use case should probably, you know, talk us through exactly what guarantees we want. And then if people disagree, well, that's great. We can come up with two.
Can I make one recommendation on that, which is we probably need to put a straw man together that they can throw darts at. I think that's likely to be much more successful.
Okay.
The meeting notes link on the...
just a second, Ben. I'll put it in Rocket Chat. You should be able to also get it in the let's see, right there. Okay, so the meeting note should be in Rocket Chat. I think they're also historically back in the, there aren't enough messages on the architecture working group. It's not hard to find them.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Hey, great discussion this morning. Thanks for your participation. And again, you know, to keep Greg happy, we should probably be moving towards, you know, thinking about how to put this paper into the architecture working group series of papers at some point in time. So,
yeah.
Although Greg's a tough taskmaster when it comes to actually writing cogent facts, so be careful.
Oh no, my reputation precedes me.
You can't avoid it now, sir. All right. Thanks, everybody. Gotta go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.